Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Brewers Outlet Day. And what a weekend it is going to be. So go to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You can stock up right now for the weekend. So when you talk about stocking up for the weekend, it's a weekend that includes Penn State Iowa wrestling tonight at 8:30. It's going to include Penn State basketball Sunday at noon with Michigan. Then it's going to include the NFC Championship game, the Eagles, your Eagles, taking on the San Francisco 49ers just after 3 on Fox. And then it'll be the Chiefs and the Bengals on CBS at 6:30. So you're just going to want to sit in for the cold weekend and just absorb all of it. And that means Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And also six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. All right. So, Billy Packer passed away, 82. Met him several times along the way. Actually came here and did an event one night at the Nittany Lion Inn. And we were two of the speakers. I spoke before, obviously, he's the featured speaker, so I spoke right before him. And then he was introduced. Paul Alexander, in fact, was the MC. And of course, he did Penn State's run to the Sweet 16 with Jim Nance at the Superdome in 2001. And they did the Providence and North Carolina games. So I got a chance to talk to him there as well. And he was, he and Jim Nance were enthralled by the Crispin brothers. You know, I mean, let's face it, you know, you've been around, probably around Joe and John during the course of your lifetime, and Joe and John have been guests on this show many times. And he was enthralled by those guys and enthralled by that team. And, of course, Penn State was a number 7 seed and beat number 10 Providence and then beat the number 2 seed North Carolina to get to the Sweet 16. And Billy Packer and Jim Nance did those games at the Superdome. You're talking about a guy who loved and was passionate about college basketball. He did the Final Four, I want to say 34 times in his career. And when I talk about the legendary Kirk Gowdy, I think that was the first guy he did the Final Four with, was Kirk Gowdy. And then, of course, he did the Final Four with Dick Enberg and did the Final Four with Tom Bender and did the Final Four with Jim Nance and Brent Musburger in all those years. But he was always the constant in doing that. And I've been on his son Mark's show a couple of times during the course, and Mark is a great guy. I really like him a lot. His other son, Brant, I don't know. But Mark, I've been on his show a few times. And look, the guy knew the sport, and he did it without any shtick along the way. And that's what I always admired about him. He was a guy that just was absorbed in the games. So I asked him one time, a couple questions I asked him about. And I said, Billy, how do you get ready for a tournament when there are so many possibilities? He said, well, he says, during the course of the season, Steve, I kind of zero in on maybe 20 to 25 teams that I think can advance. Okay. And so I kind of zero in on that. That at least is a starting point of my preparation. I know who the top teams happen to be, but there are always going to be other possibilities, like, say, a Villanova in 1985. I said, okay, I get that. And then he gave, we talked about interviews. And, you know, he always liked the fact that I, quote, ask questions. And he said to me, he says, I always try to ask a question I don't think anybody else has asked along the way. He said, I try to go through when I'm talking to somebody, and I try to go through some of the interviews they've had, and I think to myself, what question haven't they been asked? I mean, that's a great way to go about it, and something I've told my broadcasting class. So we crossed paths a few times down at Baylor, obviously, when it came to the Big Ten tournament, the NCAA tournament, a couple of speaking engagements along the way, and always liked him very much, always found him to be fun, entertaining, but at the same time, when it came time to analyze games, no nonsense. He just analyzed the game. His dad, of course, Anthony Packer, was the head coach at Lehigh for 16 years. Then Billy himself ended up going to Wake Forest, and he played for the legendary coach Bones McKinney down there, and he would tell all these Bones McKinney stories all the time. I'm not sure if the younger players, when they would listen to him speak about Bones McKinney, really knew who he was, but that's okay. I'd heard of him, and so I found the stories to be entertaining. He thought about coaching, and then he started announcing in 1972. And he talked about the longevity of his career. And, you know, and Billy passed, he's only 82 when he passed away. And he was in the hospital for 3 weeks. Finally, kidney failure got him. He said he made up his mind midway through his career that someday he wouldn't be announcing anymore. And he said, so one of the things I said to myself was that I really enjoy the research and studying the game and having the opportunity to interface with people I respect that really know the game and its history. And if I didn't enjoy doing that anymore, I would stop. So there's a point where you say, okay, I've enjoyed my run. Now it's time to go back and do the other things I enjoy. The last game I've actually seen in person was the last game I broadcast, and that was the 2008 National Championship between Memphis and Kansas. Look, he saw the NCAA tournament go from, I want to say when he started doing the tournament, it was like maybe 24 teams. Then it jumped to 32, then to 48, then they got it to 64, now 68. He saw all of that happen in front of him over time. And so he made sure that he stayed up with the times for the most part. And he always focused on the game. And that's what I always appreciated about what Billy Packer did, is that Billy Packer analyzed the game that was in front of him. Now, does it mean along the way he didn't make what I perceive to be mistakes? I would say one of the bigger mistakes he made, and you're allowed to have an opinion, but when he had the opinion about St. Joe's not being worthy of being a number one seed, in 2004, I was like, oh, because they were undefeated going in. He was talking about their schedule and so forth. I'm like, oh, okay, just because they aren't an ACC Big Ten team. But that's a minor mistake. That's minor. And that's an opinion. And you're allowed to have opinions. And my opinion differed than his. And guess what? He may have thought my opinion would be garbage. And at the same time, I was like, I'm not enamored with his. So what? Didn't it lessen my respect for him? I don't think it would have lessened his respect for me. Just we had different opinion on that. Other things, I just liked the way he went about his business. And, you know, in talking to his son Mark, he thought the world of him, right? Which is great, you know, and they'll tell you, great husband, great father, great grandfather. When you're talking about somebody who does something for 34 years, you're going to be incredible to do something like that for 34 years. and he was great at the job. But, you know, he does make a point, though, and that is about in doing this job, there are two parts to it. You know, there are a lot of elements to it, but there are two primary parts to doing the job. And I, you know, and people ask me this all the time. One, you have to have the humility to prepare. And two, you have to have the confidence to pull it off. You can have the confidence to pull it off if you're prepared. If the preparation does get to the point where it is a pain in the neck to do, right? That's when you'll find there are two elements that people start to slip out of this business. One is the preparation becomes a pain in the neck to do. And number two, people will tell you the travel. Right? They'll tell you that. And so for me, the travel is still no big deal. And for me, the preparation, I love doing it. I have my own way of doing it. So, but I can see why somebody would feel that way. And guess what? And it's interesting with him, with Billy Packer. He's involved in a lot of businesses and real estate deals. So he did a lot of that. But the last time he played college basketball, he said as soon as he finished his last game, he had no interest in playing again. Right? The last time he broadcast a basketball game, after that, he was done, had no more interest in doing it. He said what he loved to do, he loved business deals and the challenge of it. He said it was the closest thing to him in competing in sports were business deals. He said, quote, it's a game that adults can play. It's amazing, isn't it? That he thought that way and felt that way. But Billy Packer, 82, an absolute legend in this business. Every time I crossed paths with him, I had good, really good conversations with him along the way. He's somebody that you wanted to listen to with the idea you could learn more from him. And that was my goal when I talked to him. How much more can I learn from this guy? All right. Come back with more. We'll talk about the Eagles in a moment. Matt's rant of the day will start off the next half hour. Merrill Reese coming up at 4:06 today. And the King and our picks as well. There's a lot going on today. Brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Went long in the opening segment, talking about the passing of Billy Packer at the age of 82. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up now. Why don't you get in the car now, put it on 1070. Right, drive over there, stock up for the big weekend. I mean, there's so much going on. It starts with wrestling tonight with Penn State and Iowa at 8:30. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key, Routes 11 and 15, Hubble's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. I was talking with some friends yesterday at lunch, and you know, they asked me about the challenge with Penn State basketball. And I related it to Penn State wrestling, and Penn State will wrestle Iowa tonight. And I said to them that between the Ohio border and the New Jersey border, you take, I said, except for the southeastern part of the state, the Philadelphia area, I said, there are some good basketball players out there, good basketball players, but there aren't a lot of high major Division I basketball players. Every once in a while, I said you'll get a Lonnie Walker out of Reading. You'll get a Jerry McNamara out of Scranton, a Billy Owens. You'll get some players like that along the way that are exceptional players that can play at the highest level of college basketball. Every once in a while, Pittsburgh develops one or two. But the most of the players are in the Philly area or suburban Philly. That's really where the players are. I said, now let's relate that to wrestling. Penn State is going to wrestle Iowa tonight in the Jordan Center. As I said to my two friends, Tom and Gary, I said, the difference is, I said, the number of high-level high school wrestlers that can go and wrestle at the highest levels collegiately between the Ohio border and the New Jersey border, the state is littered with them all over the place. That's why people come in to recruit. Wrestling is such a big deal in this state at every level. I said, that's the big difference, is the ability, if Penn State wants to stay in-state recruiting for wrestling, and they don't do that. I mean, they certainly move all over the place to get wherever the greatest wrestlers happen to be. I mean, Bo Nickel was from Texas, for goodness sakes. But I said, you can stay within the confines of this state, and you can find the best wrestlers in the country right in your own backyard. And you look at how it's played out. I mean, look at the 157-pounder from Adams County. Comes up, and right now they're making a decision whether to redshirt him or not. But, you know, you're talking about just a bevy of not just good, but potentially great collegiate wrestlers all within the confines of the state. Everybody comes to this state to recruit. College basketball isn't like that. So college basketball is different in this state. And the oddity is right now, for all the whining, moaning, and complaining about how Penn State played against Rutgers the other night, which I understand, the best college team in the state right now is Penn State. I mean, seriously, the best college team in the state is Penn State right now. It's not Villanova. They're not having a great year. It's not Temple, even though they beat Houston. Right? Pitt's like almost like there, but they've had some ups and downs. And, you know, and Penn State has had to go into the southeastern part of the state to get, you know, their players within the state. I know that Seth Lundy, for example, is from Paulsboro, New Jersey, but he went to high school at Roman Catholic in Philly. And it's no surprise that Penn State, you know, you look at the guys that have been 1,000-point scorers, four of them have been from Roman Catholic in Philly, right? And then, of course, you've got Andrew Funk, who went to Bucknell, came here. I mean, look, he played his high school ball in Philly. And that's the big difference. Wrestling has that backyard where they've got all these great wrestlers. And Cale Sanderson makes them even better, he and his staff. You know, basketball doesn't have that between the borders until you get the southeastern part of the state. All right, Matt's Rants in the next half hour, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Northern fully appreciate the Macatrillo rant of the day. I think you need to go to Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket.
You're darn right you do.
Because a lot of times the rant is just, it's brutal. Brutal. Goodness gracious. Yeah. All right. Go ahead, let her rip.
Well, first of all...
Oh, here we go.
We need to stick to the American beer products at Brewers Outlet this weekend, because I'm not very happy with a German reporter who was at the NovaCare complex today. I don't know if you saw this, Steve. So he's on...
No, I really... I work for a living.
This is part of my work. I happen to see this on social media because I'm on social media for my work. But anyway, he's at Nick Sirianni's press conference today. And he asked a question about Philly fans and how hostile they can be, and brought up throwing snowballs at Santa Claus. I'm going to tell this. No, I get this. This is probably an innocent German reporter who doesn't know anything about the NFL unless when they come to Munich and when they come for this time of the year for the championship games and the Super Bowl, then they go back and forget about the NFL until they come back again and worry about their own football. But I'm still going to give you the three words that the great Sal Pelantonio taught me and my classmates at the sports broadcasting camp at Villanova. Do your homework. Do your homework. That's all. Do your homework. Even Nick Sirianni had to say, it happened in 1968, dude. And then he went on to give him his answer. I don't care who you are, reporter from here, from the United States, reporter from Germany, that is zero excuse to give that type of lazy type of question with that lazy narrative of Philadelphia fans to this time of the year when you've got other reporters that need to be in there to actually do the real job instead of doing whatever small piece they're doing in Germany about the game right now. And what shows you too that the NFL doing these international games, I've always been against. I've always thought this was the stupidest thing by the NFL is doing these international games. Because it's not making any progress, clearly, when we're still talking about this snowballs and Santa Claus. Like, he's genuinely bringing it up. It's not like you do, like a joke or anybody else does, just to get people riled up. He legitimately meant this as a question to Eagles coach Nick Sirianni. So, you know what? Go back to Germany. Don't do your reporting here. Go back to Germany and worry about your own football. Sheesh. Come on now.
I'm trying to figure out what your point is.
Oh, my almighty!
Yeah, sure. Did Santa Claus get barraged with snowballs or not? Did I miss something?
In 1968, yes.
I'm sorry. It's just certain things you can't overcome.
Maybe we can't. I don't know.
I don't think you can overcome it. It's S-Claws, man. How do you barrage S-Claws with snowballs?
I just said he was at the game last week and everybody was fine with him. I'm an eyewitness. Even my dad's an eyewitness.
I'm telling you, I think he kind of flew under the radar. Nobody knew it. All right. Okay. Awfully touchy about it.
I'm just saying. Like, enough's enough. Like, when you actually start, like, being a legitimate fan of the American football game in Germany and in Europe and everywhere else where we brought the game from, that only cares about it for that week that they're there and during the Super Bowl, when you actually, like, you know, realize who the teams are, realize, like, who some of the players are, some of the storylines, like, if they're good or not, are, then maybe you can get away with that kind of lazy question.
Awfully touchy. All right. I just want to make sure you're okay.
I'm better now, yes.
All I know is that as you were doing that, they were driving the Brewers outlet in droves.
Good.
Make it stop.
whatever I can do to help out our man Corey Fosfold, I'm happy to do.
Dull the pain. I know we should have been nicer to Santa Claus. Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah. All right. Yeah, it's coming up on Sunday. Although I always feel like what do crowds do? I mean, crowds are great. The ambiance is great. It's off the charts as to what they can mean. They can really energize a home team. Honestly, if you're any good, it doesn't affect the road team. I mean, it shouldn't, except when it comes to football, for example, where you're sitting there and you have to then go silent count. And the Philadelphia crowd is more like a big-time college crowd. If the game were in San Francisco, you would not have the noise level that you have in Philadelphia, because the Philadelphia crowd is louder. There's no getting around it. There's certain crowds in the NFL that are very much like in terms of how loud they are, they're like a college crowd. Kansas City is one. Denver is another one. Philadelphia is like that.
Seattle, too.
Yeah. And Seattle's like that. Good point. Seattle is very much like that. Those are like really the four. I mean, not a lot of Dallas is not like that. New York's not like that. Washington, no.
If you have the visiting fans, then it could be like that.
Buffalo's kind of like that.
Yes.
Buffalo's kind of like that. All right. They're really into what's going on, so it means a lot.
But that wasn't according to Debo Samuel. He said Wednesday, nobody's louder than our stadium. You're going to be in for a rude awakening, dude, when you come into the link on Sunday.
You'd be stunned by good road performance, how quiet the link gets. No, I'm sorry. I'm not joking about that. That was not meant to be a joke. You play well. You know, people are like...
And if he plays well and that's the way it is, then so be it.
So. We're intimidating. Actually, you're not. It's like I told you that about the World Series. Actually, you're not. Okay. Houston won 2 out of 3 games in Philadelphia. It really had, it's fun to listen to. And I think if you're a TV network, you love Philadelphia. But in terms of the ability to affect the game, it's not as much as you guys think. I've done a lot of road games in my career. A lot of them. If you're a good team, you can go in there and win. Simple as that. I know you don't believe that, but I've done a lot of road games in my life. I mean, I am coming up on, almost 1,500 football and basketball games combined. So I've been in a lot of venues in my lifetime. And I know every home crowd thinks, are we intimidated? Are they intimidated? Well, okay, you intimidate bad teams. But a good team? Good team's not intimidated. There's a reason why they're good. So... I know you don't believe that. It's all part of my Mythbusters thing, but like, I've been kind of like, for the most part, I've been at like everywhere, so. And with bigger crowds than this. Yeah, I've done road games with 40,000 more fans than what you'll see on. And that stadium's a great stadium, and the way it's built beautifully. It keeps the noise in. It's really terrific. Khalil Ahmad is going to fill the newly created assistant recruiting coordinator for personnel at Penn State. He had been at Syracuse, and he will take that job at Penn State. So that gives them now 9 full-time recruiting people in the recruiting department. working under Andy Frank and Kenny Sanders. And what Andy Frank and Kenny Sanders have done, and you got Alan Sabaitis is critical too. Those three guys, and what they've done is they've made a couple of moves. Andy Frank is now the general manager of personnel and recruitment, but the title gives him more money. Kenny Sanders is now the director of player personnel, which is Andy's old title. There are new titles in there. Caleb Tyler is now the director of recruiting content. Alan Zamaitis on defense is now recruiting coordinator for personnel. Chris Mann is now recruiting coordinator for offense. Hunter Carson is now recruiting coordinator for communication strategy. I mean, doing all that is a way to get them the recognition they deserve, also more money along the way. So they made that move today. By the way, the late signing period is Wednesday. There'll be nobody signing late, and there are going to be very few across the country. But they've got to do something about this in my mind. And what really strikes me is why does basketball work? And I know it's fewer people, but why does basketball work so well? I never hear any complaints about basketball. Early signing period happens. Most of the guys sign. Happens right at the beginning of the season. Late signing period happens. There's some transfer portal stuff. There's no doubt. There's usually 1,500 in the transfer portal. But that always happens after the season is over with. I mean, here it's like, football. They put the early signing period at the busiest time of the year. Okay. That's the part that doesn't make any sense to me. One of these days somebody's going to have to competently explain to me why the early signing period for college football can't be like the first week of August or something. Where after that, you can really just, like, coach your team. Because that's the way college basketball is, and it seems to have worked. I mean, they're out there signing guys before the high school basketball season starts, right? Wrestling tonight. I was literally just in the BJC a short time ago, having it all set up, putting the chairs on the floor. This is the regular season wrestling Super Bowl right here. A lot of excitement surrounding it. One versus two. And this is the kind of dual meet that the sport needs. Sport needs this. Let's be honest. They're not... Well, I shouldn't say let's be honest because I'm not sure a lot of people can handle like the honesty of it, but the number of programs that are really like that have a shot at this is so small. Which is one of the issues with the sport. There are not a lot of programs in the country to begin with. I think there are 74, maybe 75 total. And the gap between number one and number 10 is huge. I mean, the gap between one and 10 is actually huge. But the fact that you get these two powerhouses together, sellout crowd, probably, I mean, there's a chance at it being a record crowd in the BJC tonight, is just dynamic. It's dynamic. Great lineups. It's terrific. It's terrific. The fact that Penn State's one of them is really great, and the wrestling crowd at Penn State has a sophistication to it that is second to none. The presentation's great with all the light shows and things like that. It's really something else. You know, and you know what the Penn State wrestling crowd has never done, Matt? You know what they've never done?
They've never booed at Santa Claus.
Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
For all we know, Brock Purdy is San Francisco Santa Claus. No?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Too young.
You're a basket case right now. All right. By the way, Josh Gattis got removed as the offensive coordinator at Miami. Here's a guy who a year ago was named the offensive coordinator, assistant coach of the year when he was at Michigan. Evidently, Josh may have burned a few bridges on his way out. I don't know. It sounds like it. Goes down to Miami with Mario Cristobal and is removed after a year. Meanwhile, Kirk Campbell got moved up to quarterback coach at Michigan. Believe it or not, you want to know how bad it is for Tua Tagovailoa? Did you hear about this?
Yeah, he's still in protocol a month in. That's not good.
I mean, that's really bad. Wow.
Whether it's number two or number three, Miami's got some serious problems right now.
Yeah. So, and you're mad at a reporter from Germany who doesn't know America.
That's right.
My goodness, it's coming off as the ugly American. I just
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells found up.
My goodness. Well, I'll tell you right now, you got... I'll tell you who has a problem to deal with. Away from all this is Fox. Greg Olson's really good. It's like, you're going to tell me Brady's going to be better?
I certainly don't see it.
Neither do I. But, hey, what they want to do. Who knows? It sounded to me like that was one that, like, way upper management went for that. So.
Not the first worst decision that Fox Sports has made with their programming. Won't be the last.
Well, Fox Sports has done a good job for the most part. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, Buck and Aikman are good picks. I think he made a lot of good choices over time.
With games, yes. But, I mean, in terms of their regular talk, sports talk programming, it stinks out loud. TV and radio.
Look, most of it does. And you know what? It's not. And a lot of times it's not the talent, it's the producers. This is what we're going to talk about today. It's like, oh, man. I mean, it's like, come on. By the way, Wayne Randozzo is not coming back as the Mets play-by-play guy, at least one of them. You know, one of the names under consideration for it is Patrick McCarthy, Tommy's son.
How about that?
He's under consideration. Doesn't have it.
Right.
And this will be the number three role on the broadcast.
Deserving, though, nonetheless.
I've never heard him, so I don't know.